well, I don't need to train my kids. They're really good at that. They know how to ask for things. Well, there's a way to ask. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. And I'm inviting you, encouraging you, imploring you to teach your child to talk to you as God teaches you to talk to him. That's what this passage is about. Jesus is teaching his disciples how to talk to God and how to ask for things. Now, why did he do that? He did that because we have to be taught how to ask for things. There's a proper way to do that, and there's an improper way to do that. And so we will take up the subject this morning, train your kids how to ask. Now, I don't think I need to tell you that parenting is not for wimps. It's a tough job. Maybe I would be very truthful even in saying that it's an impossible job, because there's a lot going against you, parents. And that's why I want to give you this series of messages about how to raise up your children, because the Bible is absolutely full of direction of how to do that very thing. The Bible's full of it. And so I want to encourage you to do it, and we will illustrate that this morning. Do you know that the Scripture calls you to be a holy parent? To be holy means to be different, like Jesus is different. That's what holy means. For me to be different the way Jesus is different, or for you to be different the way Jesus is different. And that's the idea of holiness. We were told in the passage that we talked about last week, and the passage that we read, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So God is telling us as his children to be holy people. Well, what does he mean by that? What he means by that is for us to be like Jesus. Because that's what holy means. To be different like Jesus is different. It requires vigilance and courage. You don't just melt into society and think like everyone else and do what everyone else does. No, we are called to be different. And your children are in peril, and you are their defense. Now, I think I had the wrong idea of parenting when we started having children. I thought if you put food in and they had clothes and they slept, they'll eventually grow up and they'll have it. They'll turn 18 and they'll be normal people. What is normal people? Jesus didn't call us to be normal people. Jesus called us to be holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. God has given us children to disciple. God wants our children to come to know Jesus, to have eternal life, and then to follow Jesus. Our job is to grow our children to be ready to be grown up, growing up, responsible, godly adults. That doesn't happen automatically. I've learned that over the years. God has called us to parent like he parents. And I'm so glad that God calls himself Father, so that we have the idea, we understand that we have a parent, and he is the model for parenting. As a matter of fact, he has a son. So we have a perfect parent with a perfect son as a model that we can follow. The message that we have today is from God in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And here Jesus is teaching spiritual children how to talk to God. Now, that's what I want to encourage this morning. Now, please listen to me, because this is very important. You may think it's not important about how to ask or how to talk to parents. It's very important. Well, it's so important that Jesus gave instruction to his disciples, and he said, When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I tell you, they have their reward. But you, be different. When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, because that's what the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, the conclusion is, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. And all God's people said. Just as God taught His children how to talk to Him, we must teach our children how to talk to us. It's not automatic, the knowing, nor the practice. As we conduct this training, that is how you talk to me as myself being the parent, we are to be different like Jesus is different. Now, how can you be a godly parent in this way? Well, I'm going to make this very practical this morning. There are four things I want to share with you. Number one, teach your children not to be showy, insincere in their requests. Your children should not be showy, loud, and insincere when they ask you for things. And you might say, well, that's not important. That's very important. Jesus said to us, God's children, when you talk to God, don't be an actor. Don't be a hypocrite. The Pharisees practiced loud public praying. And they did it often. And they loved to show off in front of other people in public. And they demanded everyone's attention. You know any children like that? They demand a lot of attention. Our Lord said, don't be like the play actors. When we talk to God, He expects us to be honest and not to be showing off. Dr. Dan Alexander, a Christian counselor, gave his testimony one time. I was in Nashville listening to him. And he talked about how, as a child, he controlled his parents when he was a child. He would demand loudly, and he would demand over and over until his parents would give in and give him whatever it was that he was demanding, whatever he wanted. It's hard to believe, but when he was 8 years old, he watched a popular California-based TV show and romantically fell in love with California. And he began to imagine, wouldn't it be wonderful to live in California? He begged, he demanded, he cried and his cried to his parents until they did what? They moved to California. He said, nothing messed my life up more than my parents following my demands. When he was 8 years old, you think about that. He talked his parents by begging them, constantly demanding and crying that they move to California. And they sold their house and moved to California. You might think, oh, I can't imagine a child ever doing that. Well, they do. And your child may be very demanding too. Remember, he was only 8 years old. His parents had always given him everything that he demanded. And if he didn't get what he wanted, he would embarrass them in public in front of people by throwing tantrums. Dr. Alexander turned out to be an adult counselor. And he said his admission was that embarrassed his entire life. because he went from one problem to another problem until God got a hold of him. His parents had quit their job, sold their house, and moved to California to appease little Danny. What Dan's parents did in extreme, his parents do all the time in a lesser extreme. Why do we do that? Why do we give our kids what they demand loudly in public? Well, many times we just want them to be quiet. We're embarrassed. You can't assume that your children understand this. And they will make demands in the public place, sometimes play acting. Train your children that if they ask for something in front of other people, there's going to be an automatic answer. This is what Jesus said in this reading that I just did. If your children are demanding and loud and embarrass you in public, the answer is automatic. And what's the answer? No. God said that he would not reward a request that was made demandingly in public. And he said, that is all the reward they're going to get. They got their few seconds of loudness and fame in front of people, and that's all the reward they're going to get. As I warned you, parenting is not for wimps. And because if you parent like God parents, then you will keep your word. If you train your children, if you do this in public, the answer is going to be automatically a no, then you need to keep your word. Or it won't be beneficial. Have you ever heard this? Mommy, can I spend the night with Sarah in front of everybody? Now, what are you going to say? You're on the spot, aren't you? Kids aren't dumb. You're on the spot. And even if you don't think it's a good idea, the social pressure is on. It's embarrassing and the pressure is high. My suggestion to you, following God's parental advice, is to have a family rule. If any child asks for anything in front of other people, the answer is an automatic no. That was Jesus' rule. I didn't make that up. It's Jesus' rule. I just read it to you. Now, this won't work if you're a wimp. It won't work. Because you will be tested, and there will be protests. But if you do what you say, like God does, it will bring peace and protection to your family. Now, this is serious. It might not seem serious. It's very serious. There's a reason for this. Your child will recruit clamoring witnesses when they embarrass you in front of other people. You know how that works, don't you? Mommy, can I spend the night with Sarah? There are seven people standing around. Mommy, may I spend the night with Sarah? And guess what the other people say? What side are they on? You say, I don't know if you should do that or not because you haven't had time to think about it. I don't know if you should do that or not. What happens to the witnesses around there? What do they start saying? Oh, it's okay, it's okay. Well, little Sarah and her seven people around her, her witnesses, before the Supreme Court and Congress of the United States, what are they doing? They're adding on the pressure. You know how that works. And they're all saying you should break your rule. I tell you, parent, you can't be a wimp. You have to hang in there. God's not a wimp. He meant what he said, and he does it every time. Now, God has three answers when you press him for something. Only three. God will either say, yes, that's fine, that's a good idea, and he gives permission. Sometimes God says no, which is more often than yes. But by far the most frequent answer is wait. And when you pray for things, God almost always makes you wait. Good parenting does that. Good parent. That's good parenting. Waiting is a character builder. It's very important to wait, to learn to wait. So there's an answer of yes, or there's the answer of no, or there's the answer of no, we need to wait about that. That brings me to the second parenting practice that's in this passage. Now, what was the first one? Did you get it? Loud, insincere request, the answer is automatic no. Number two, require that your child make his request in private with you. Make sure that your child, if they want something, they always have to ask in private, not in public. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, it's a 100% chance if you demand to get what you want or ask for what you want in front of other people. There's a 100% chance that the answer is no. But if you take me to a secret place where we can talk about it, you have a greater chance of hearing a yes. Now, parents, one of the things we have to do is learn to think about consequences. Our children know nothing about consequences. That's why you're the parent. And so you have to think about the consequences. You walk away, you go to a quiet place, you talk to your child who's making the request, you balance all the dangers and all the benefits, and then you give an answer. That's good parenting. Good parenting requires private audience. Talking in public to God is wonderful as long as you have talked to God privately first. Public prayer is all through the Bible by people who often prayed privately. If you don't pray with God in private, it's best not to pray in public until you learn to practice that. Now, parent, I want to say to you, privately train your child to always make requests of you in private. Now, you might say, this is ridiculous. It's okay, you can think that. You may think, that's rule. There's no reason to do that. I've never did that. My parents never did that. Your parents didn't know what they were doing. I say that because I'm from that generation. I definitely didn't know what I was doing. God always knows what He's doing. God is always accurate. And God always understands. And God always has the right answer. I don't claim to have been a good parent. And I'm embarrassed that I have to say that. It's a confession that's true. But I'm learning from God what a good parent is. I'm not standing up here giving you my opinions about what good parenting is. I'm telling you what the Bible says from a really good parent who never makes a mistake. And why? Why does God want it done that way? To protect His children. And that's why you should do it that way. To protect your children. That's your job. Even though the pressure of conformity is going to be on you, it's going to be uncomfortable, but you have to either choose uncomfortable or unsafe. It's not about you, it's about your child's protection. You have to think that way. This is a practical way for you to protect your children and your family is by just having this simple rule. If you want something, you come to me privately and we talk about it. Otherwise, it's automatic no. If you will be consistent in what I'm telling you, or more importantly, what Jesus is telling you, it will become normal practice. At first, it's going to be painful. And that's why we don't like doing it, because it's painful to us. But if you decide to do what Jesus does and what our Father told the Son to tell His disciples, those children to do, if you do that, After a while, it will become normal practice. It won't be painful anymore. But it will take time. Anytime you change the family culture, it's painful. But it will bring eventual peace. And peace we need. My wife and I practiced this, as a matter of fact. It's one of the things that we did right sometimes. It's not easy to be consistent or stand up to peer pressure. But if you aren't a wimp, and if you are different the way Jesus is different in this regard, this practice can save your family. Judge Capper, who is among us today, tells the true story of a young woman, a young parent herself, who got into a drug habit, seemingly innocently, when she was about 13 years old, because she was naive, and she went to spend a night with a friend at a sleepover, and she and her friends experimented with what was in the medicine cabinet. 15 years later or so, maybe 20, she died of an overdose from a problem that started when she was 13 years old. The moral of this story is not that sleepovers are bad. They're not. It's the parents that must vet and protect the children. You can't be a wimp and be a parent. You have to be willing to say no until safety is assured. This happens all the time. There's a lot at stake. Other parents will pressure you to do what they do. You should not do that. You should do what God wants you to do. You should do what's good for your child. You should not cave in. You should be a valiant warrior for your child and protect their life. If you have the time that the child has come to you privately and you've had a chance to safely check out what's going on and who these people are, then maybe you should say yes, but you should pray about it first. There's something about our culture where we hate to limit our children. It's like we want to tell them yes to everything, and I like to say yes. I have 10 grandchildren. I like to say yes to them. And I have the privilege to be able to say yes more than their parents can, because it's not up to me to provide everything and all their safety. But I'm still concerned about that. Think, protect, and be wise. Now that brings us to another verse that Jesus talked about with another lesson. And that is that no permission granted to children who display nagging. If they nag repeatedly nag you, you got to do it. Well, look what Jesus says. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Will you cave in? Who's the strongest? Who will decide what's going to happen when the question is posed? We should not pray to God with words that we don't think about. And children should not ask for things that they have not thought about. Part of the exercise is to teach them to think about their own consequences. Because after all, your job is to help them to grow up, not remain children. And part of the growing up is gaining discernment. And so you privately talk to them and you tell them what the pros are, how you're thinking that way, and what the cons are, how you're thinking that way, and how you vet the situation, and who you know these people to be. And then they learn to vet their situation. It's important. God wants to hear from our hearts according to our genuine needs, not our constant demands. But does he not respond positively to nagging kids who say the same thing over and over and over again. Well, God says no. The Pharisees love to say the same prayers over and over and over again. Prayers that are repeated can lose their heart meaning. Ritual worship has an inherent danger. And the Lord's Prayer is wonderful to pray, but it can be prayed ritualistically, without meaning. And that should not happen. Parents, teach your children to ask for things in private and not just talk to be heard or command your attention. Teach your children to talk progressively more adult. Don't tempt your children to talk baby talk until they're 10. That's not good parenting. The purpose of parenting is to raise your child so that they can be healthily independent and think on their own wisely and be responsible. But we like to keep our children children, if you like children. Parents, let us be serious and teach our little ones to be serious too. Baby talk should fade soon. Let's go to the fourth verse and the final verse that Jesus gave. Parent, like godparents, remember, and this is being a godly parent, and that is, be different from how others raise their children. Be different from how others raise their children. We are salt and light. We are different. Jesus said we are different. He even called us a peculiar people, His children. It's not wrong for your children to be unique. As a matter of fact, they should be very unique. And your family should be unique. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you need before you even ask them. Verse 8. You know your child's needs, don't you, before they ask? Don't you know that they need food, shelter, and clothing? Don't you already know that? As a matter of fact, you've already taken care of that. Just go in the kitchen, look in the refrigerator, look in the cupboard, look in their closet. You've already taken care of that, and you have a house to live in. You've already taken care of all their needs. But we think we're responsible for all their wants, too. Not necessarily. Don't cave in to demanding, loud children who nag you, who want what they want when they want it, because that's not good for them. Is it your problem if your child is bored? I have 10 grandchildren. I have 3 children that I thought I raised perfectly. They all have a disease. It's mental illness. They believe that they are responsible for their child's boredom. My grandchildren, they come and say, oh, I'm bored. I say, what? I'm bored. I say, what's that like? I've never been bored in my entire life. And they think I'm weird. And I am weird. Because I have a lot of things to do. And if I don't have anything to do, I have a long list of other things I want to do. I don't know what it is about parents today who think that it's their responsibility for their child not to be bored. It's not a sin to be bored. It's all right to be bored. Is it your job to provide entertainment and busyness for your child? I find this to be amazing. I rarely see parents who don't think it's their responsibility to provide 100% entertainment for 100% of the time that that child's awake. I've got to keep that child engaged all the time. And if they're bored and I'm not entertaining them, that means I'm a bad parent. That does not mean you're a bad parent. God doesn't hold you responsible for their entertainment. God holds you responsible for their needs and to protect them. Does your family need Novocaine of constant action? We got to be on the run. So we all jump on our horse and go off in different directions. I don't know that that's a healthy family. I think the Bible teaches us to be godly by providing your child's needs and to be wise enough to know that their wants are not your mandatory directive. They'll want a lot of things. Now, my challenge to you is this. Prioritize your time and your resources and parent like God. And I want you to ask your kid this. Now, this is an experiment. I'm just asking you to ask your child this. I did this recently with grandchildren, and I was amazed at the answer. Ask your child, especially if they're little children, would you rather have the best video game out there and you have it and you can use it? Or would you rather spend your time playing a board game with your family? Ask that question. What do you think they say? You're wrong if you say video game. I was amazed to learn, because I'd read this study and I didn't think it was true, so I asked my grandchildren. Children choose a board game over video games. That doesn't seem like my experience. Maybe the problem's not the kid. Maybe the problem is I think that little screen is a good babysitter. It keeps them occupied. They're very entertained. And I don't have to fool with them. Do you know what? I'm amazed by my grandchildren. They can take a little tablet and you don't hear from them for hours. For hours. It's so wonderful. And wrong. My son has a rule. You can't bring your tablet to the dinner table. I like that rule. They actually look at you while you're having dinner. This is a great thing. It's like a new invention or philosophy. They come to the table and they talk to other people there. It's a wonderful thing. Now, I'm being a little facetious and I'm stretching it some, but you get the point. Listen, my friends, it's very important for you to engage your children. It's very important for you to be the parent. It's very important for you to automatically say no if they ask you in public. And it's very important that you vet the situation to protect their life, because you may be protecting their life in that situation. What did Jesus do? Well, it's obvious. We read the verses. We know what he does. All I'm engaging with you and all I'm challenging you to do is be different like Jesus is different. You may save your child's life. And in many cases, I think that's true. How do you spell love? If you love your children, right? How do you spell love? If your children could articulate that, I think they would spell it like this. T-I-M-E. They want your time. They want your eyes. They want your attention. They want you to be engaged with them. And they really do want you to be a parent, even though they may scream and yell about it. They want you to be the parent. They don't know what's dangerous. They don't know. Now, my question to you today as we close is, what are you going to do differently? You saw what Jesus said in these four verses. What are you going to do differently as a parent? I'm telling you this to help you. These are not my directives. They're not even how I did it. They're what God says. our Father in heaven, the perfect parent. That's his directive. Well, our time's gone, so let's sing together. And we're going to sing, Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. And I hope you contemplate that question that I set before you. What are you going to do different? Because now is the time to think about that. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. We love you, adore you. We bow down before you. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Now, I'm a little older, and I have found out that you don't hear children do that, what I just sang and what you just sang, until they're about 25, 26, because children don't know to do that. They have to be taught to do that. We're going to talk more about that later on. God bless you. You're dismissed. Praise Factory tonight, 5 o'clock.